The early 1990s should have been America's victory lap. The Cold War had ended, the United States stood alone as the world superpower. But beneath this apparent triumph lurked a profound unease. The promised peace dividend never materialized. Instead, the nation faced economic stagnation, cultural divisions, and a crisis of identity that would reshape politics for decades to come. This wasn't merely a political realignment, but something deeper, a questioning of what America stood for and who belonged within it. From David Duke's shocking electoral success to Pat Buchanan's insurgent campaign, from Los Angeles riots to Ruby Ridge, the period revealed a nation grappling with fundamental questions about its future. Our present divisions weren't born yesterday. They emerged in this moment when the promised end of history instead delivered an era of uncertainty and rage. Louisiana's 1989 state legislative race shocked the nation when David Duke, former Ku Klux Klan leader and neo-Nazi, won despite opposition from Reagan and Bush. His victory revealed troubling political shifts that would soon spread nationally. Duke's extremism began in childhood. Raised by a harsh father and alcoholic mother, he immersed himself in racist literature from age 14. In college, he alienated peers by displaying Nazi paraphernalia. His 1970s Klan leadership attempted mainstream appeal through coat and tie appearances, though his narcissism ultimately undermined his organization. Duke's alarming support among white voters made his rise significant. In his U.S. Senate run, he captured 43.5% overall, but 59% of the white vote. During his 1991 governor's race against Edwin Edwards, Duke secured 55% of white voters statewide and 69% of white evangelicals. Though Edwards won, his victory speech warned that future candidates would continue exploiting bigotry and division as their elixir of false hope. Duke's appeal extended beyond Louisiana, suggesting the state's economic and cultural divisions foreshadowed broader national challenges, not just a regional anomaly, but a harbinger of political realignment that would transform American politics in coming decades. As the Reagan era ended, conservatism fractured into bitter infighting between competing factions. Paleoconservatives viewed neocons as former liberals who had captured conservative institutions. This wasn't merely a tactical dispute, but a clash between fundamentally different American visions. Samuel Francis emerged as a key dissident right theorist, developing his Middle American Radicals, MARS, concept. Not just a class, but a temperament, defined by resentment toward both elites and minorities. These were Wallace voters, Nixon's silent majority, and Reagan Democrats, who felt exploited by the wealthy while subsidizing the poor. Francis believed Mars could overthrow the managerial class that had dominated since the New Deal. Unlike mainstream conservatives, Francis advocated radical approaches, embracing Caesarist executive power while rejecting free market economics for protectionism. His thinking drew from James Burnham's managerial revolution theory, but grew increasingly extreme as his disillusionment with Reaganism deepened. By fall 1991, the Gulf War's triumph had faded amid economic contraction. The 1980s boom, built on deregulation, junk bonds, and real estate speculation, collapsed dramatically. Banks failed, unemployment rose, and foreclosures mounted. With Bush's economic approval rating at just 30%, Pat Buchanan saw his opportunity to challenge the president with a campaign that would transform American politics. America in the early 1990s faced an epidemic of loneliness as social bonds frayed due to family breakdown, employment instability, and technology's privatizing effects. The collapse of industrial communities created particularly acute isolation as connecting institutions disappeared. Americans sought relief through talk media, which split along gender lines. Therapeutic daytime TV shows for women and confrontational talk radio dominated by white male hosts. This rise in confrontational talk media coincided with Reagan-era deregulation. FCC Chairman Mark Fowler's unregulation agenda eliminated ownership restrictions and balanced coverage requirements, enabling opinion-based talk radio to flourish. Between 1987 and 1992, talk format stations surged from 238 to 850. Rush Limbaugh became the landscape's most influential voice. Despite his bombastic on-air persona, he remained shy in person, exemplifying how talk radio allowed hosts to develop larger-than-life personas that often compensated for personal insecurities. By 1992, talk media had become a significant political force. Bill Clinton skillfully handled provocative hosts, while H. Ross Perot used Larry King's show to launch his presidential bid. Even Limbaugh acknowledged that talk media had become the portion of the media that the people trust the most, a transformation reshaping Americans' political engagement. The 1992 election was marked by voter rage, profound anger stemming from economic inequality following 1980s policies. The richest 1% gained 77% more income, while the middle class saw only 4% growth and the bottom 40% actually declined. Thousands competed for scarce, low-paying jobs in scenes reminiscent of the Depression. This economic anxiety fueled racial tensions. Japan bashing became a bipartisan campaign theme, with politicians attacking Japanese economic influence. Auto workers smashed Japanese cars with sledgehammers in protest. Polls showed Americans feared Japanese economic dominance more than the Soviet threat, while the Commission on Civil Rights linked this rhetoric to increasing hate crimes against Asian Americans. Los Angeles was hit particularly hard as Japanese capital retreated and post-Cold War defense cuts took effect. Between 1990 and 1994, the city lost 40% of defense-related manufacturing jobs and a quarter of all manufacturing and construction positions, nearly 500,000 jobs total. On March 3, 1991, George Holliday filmed LAPD officers beating Rodney King, striking him 56 times and causing skull fractures and brain damage. For minorities who had long alleged police brutality, the tape provided irrefutable evidence. When the officers were acquitted on April 29, 1992, Los Angeles erupted in riots that claimed 63 lives, revealing complex racial dynamics in an economically strained city. In the aftermath of the LA riots, political figures rushed to capitalize on the unrest. Pat Buchanan advocated superior force dealing with hooligans, criminals, and thugs, while President Bush vacillated between tough talk and compassion, undermining himself with tone-deaf remarks. The discourse shifted when Vice President Quayle attacked the fictional character Murphy Brown for mocking the importance of fathers, reflecting neoconservative, new class theory that blamed cultural elites for undermining traditional values without directly addressing race or criticizing big business. Clinton navigated these waters masterfully with his calculated criticism of Sister Souljah at a Rainbow Coalition event. Despite Jesse Jackson's confrontation, "You violated us. Why did you do this?" the strategy worked brilliantly, breaking Ross Perot's media dominance while positioning Clinton as bold and decisive. The election saw turnout rise to 58%. Clinton won decisively in the Electoral College, 370-168, but secured only 43% of the popular vote to Bush's 37.5% and Perot's 18.9%. Most voters remained concerned or apprehensive about the new presidency. What emerged wasn't just a new administration, but a transformed political landscape. Cold War certainties had vanished, replaced by a politics defined by cultural grievance, media fragmentation, economic anxiety, and racial tension, forces that would shape American politics for decades. The clock hadn't merely broken, it had shattered, leaving Americans to navigate an uncertain era without the comforting narratives of the past.